everything around so that Krishna can enjoy. Like this candle. This candle has only on two sides butterflies. The other two sides are without butterflies. So the devotee who put the candle in here put the butterfly towards so that we can see the butterflies. This is called material consciousness. I want to see the beautiful things. And Krishna consciousness is to turn that around and give and show the butterflies to Radha and Krishna. There's a very, we need such simple illustrations to understand, because we are very simple people. Then we need to see it. When it was put the wrong way, I didn't say anything. I just wanted to see if any one of you noticed. So now we will do very, very nice reading. Hitting out of Krishna. So we will read the second verse. I worship that Damodar who, afraid of the stick in his mother's hand, cries and time and again wraps his eyes with both his lotus hands, whose eyes express extreme fearfulness, whose sobbing makes the jeweled and pearl necklaces upon his neck marked with three lines shake, and whose belly is bound only by his mother's devotion. So there are five pictures in this verse. Damodar, who is standing before Mother Yashoda, and is afraid. Why is he afraid? He's afraid because his mother has seen him stealing butter and now runs after him with a stick in her hand. And she has just captured him. And he is so afraid that he wraps his eyes with both of his lotus heads. I think he does it so that he doesn't want to see the stick. He's so afraid. Then his eyes, when you look into the eyes, you see extreme fearfulness, and his whole body is shaking from fear. So that the jewel necklaces and the pearl necklaces upon his neck are shaking. They're dancing up and down. There's a lot of movement if they dance. But his belly, and he cannot run away. Why not? Because his belly is bound by the rope of his mother's devotion. Wonderful. This is so loving, you know. Belly is bound by the rope of Mother Yashoda's devotion. This was verse 2. Now we go to the Bhavanasara. Bhavanasara means ultimate meditations, and Sangraha means a collection. So we have just heard about Yashoda's affection. Do you know how Mother Yashoda addresses Krishna? With what is the name, or how does she call him? Do you remember?
Vatsa.
Vatsa, calf-like child. Oh, Vatsa. Another way, do you know how Nanda Maharaj calls Krishna?
Shishu.
So Krishna now will take his bath. Tulasi continued. Yashoda stayed a while in the palace courtyard, carefully instructing the young house servants dedicated to Krishna's pleasure. Okay, so Tulsi, let us just summarize, was in Nandagaon, on Nandagram, and watched Krishna's evening pastimes. Meanwhile, Radharani is suffering pangs of separation. She is, has fainted, and her body is very feverish. So Tulsi returns with these news and tells these news what she has seen to Srimati Radharani. And as the water of Krishna's pastimes enter Radharani's ear, she becomes fully alive. So what she now tells is how Mother Yashoda instructed the young house servants. So see what the servants do. One servant, in extreme acceleration means jubel, took Krishna's horn, flute and stick. Krishna always has these three things with him: his horn, his flute and the stick. So he takes it. A second servant removed Krishna's garland, and another fortunate one removed Krishna's ornaments. This is very noteworthy, because when Krishna walks over the land of Vrindavan, there is a servant who has a fresh garland in cloth, because the garland which Krishna wears is dusty, is full of dust from the cows. So he wants to give Krishna this fresh garland when they return back to Nandagram. But Krishna insists of keeping the old dusty garland. Another servant is there and wipes Krishna's transcendental body free from the dust. So naturally this other servant wants to give the dust-free garland to Krishna. But Krishna does not allow him to take this garland, because it's the garland which was made by Radharani. And therefore, he will not part with it. But here we hear, this is extremely noteworthy, that a servant successfully removed that garland. This is something to be marked. And another fortunate one removed Krishna's ornaments. One servant took off Krishna's turban and belt and again brushed the dust from his limbs. Another one blissfully cleansed Syama's face and feet with a piece of cloth and then combed his hair. Other skillful and devoted servants smiled slightly as they gently massaged Krishna's body from head to toe with colored, perfumed oils. Look at this beautiful picture. These devoted servants don't smile very, very huge. They smile very small. Why? Because they are in service. When we are in service, we should be not too, we should not laugh loud, we should not smile very broadly. We should be a little bit like servants, very respectful. No? And another one gently massaged Krishna's body from head to toe with perfumed oils. But listen to this. These oils had also colors. So I can imagine there was a yellow colored oil. Imagine Krishna's body with a yellow colored oil. It's amazing. One servant learned in the ways of love. What will he do? He's learned in the ways of love. He anoints Krishna's resplendent body with a mixture of sandalwood, kumkum, and concentrated camphor. So you have to know that this is all contrasting Krishna's dark dark body. The sandalwood is light brown, kumkum is deep yellow, and concentrated camphor is white. So Krishna looks really outlandish. Now, one servant rinsed Krishna's hair with aromatic amalaki juice and bathed him in sandal-scented water. One affectionate servant dried Krishna's body with soft white towels. He used a damp cloth to wring out the water from Krishna's hair. Aha. So they take a cloth and then they turn it in the hair. Somehow they get the water out. After removing Krishna's wet bathing garment, one servant dressed the Lord in a comfortable yellow dhoti. He presented an attractive diaphanous yellow chada to cover Syam's broad chest. I don't know what is a diaphanous chada. Diaphragm is this part of the body. So maybe it's a chadar which goes, well, I don't know. Another servant crowned Krishna's head with an elegant white turban. Wow, imagine a white turban. One servant drew the finest tilak of scented sandalwood on Krishna's forehead. He then smeared Krishna's body with a fine ointment of Harichandan mixed with camphor. These are all different fragrances. One fortunate boy decorated Krishna's graceful limbs with the appropriate jewel inlaid ornaments. See, these are golden ornaments, which are made by the goldsmiths. There are two goldsmiths in Nandagram who make all day and night ornaments for Krishna. And then they put inside the golden things jewels and tied gem-studded gold bangles on his lotus feet. Krishna clutched the right hand of a dear friend in his left and sauntered into the dining hall. That means he runs into the dining hall with a friend. He holds the hand of the friend and doesn't let it go. Then before the dining hall, he removes his jeweled slippers. Yes, slippers with jewels. Krishna then humbly and affectionately bowed before Nanda Maharaj. Before Krishna sat down, Nanda lovingly embraced him and smelled his head. Remember, Earlier, Nanda had also greeted him and lifted the edge of the turban a little. Smelled the head. Now again he smells the head. Krishna took his father's permission to sit on the royal seat. Shortly later, Balaram, having been served for a long time by his personal assistants, appeared and offered respect to Nanda Maharaj. The king of Braj entered a boundless ocean of joy by warmly embracing his beloved Balaram. It said when Nanda Maharaj takes his prasadam, eats at the dining hall, he sits Krishna on one side and Balaram on the other side. They are not next to each other. One is here, is there. Nanda Maharaj is totally happy as he looks at his two sons like this. So we will now hear about Krishna Balaram's meal. Rohini, after expertly preparing the evening meal for Krishna Balaram, came out of the kitchen and announced, "Mother Yashoda, the cooking is ready." The excited young servant girls, taking their clue from Yashoda, happily placed the plates, water jugs, and jeweled seeds in their proper places, though this is necessary for eating. Plates, water jugs, and jeweled seats. Krishna, Balaram, and Madhu Mangal bathed, dressed, and applied unguents. Unguents is also cosmetics. Then they quickly came to the stately dining hall. Mother Yashoda seated them and happily served fragrant cold water, tasty sweets, and three kinds of foods to be chewed, sucked, and licked. That's evening time. There's a lot of the more liquid food for easier digestion, sucked and licked. Yashoda served the Sidhu Keli and other sweet cakes cooked by Radharani while saying, "Oh boys, these are your favorite dishes, so eat with gusto." Gusto means taste. The boys' five senses submerged in the nectar ocean of the sweets, form, fragrance, taste, and softness. So they get sweet. Madhu Mangal bellowed while munching his food, "Oh mother, if one smells these cakes, he will disregard heaven and liberation." "Shame on the creator for not giving me an unlimited belly. Furthermore, I consider anyone who says, 'I don't want any more sweets,' to be the worst offender." Krishna and the other boys laughed at Madhu Mangal's jokes and made each other laugh as they ate and drank. Can you just imagine a more happy scene? You know, the Krishna coming from the cowherd pasturing grounds. He's so lovingly, greeted by his parents, and he's washed by the servants and ornamented and dressed and so on. And then he goes and takes his food, and Madhu Mangal makes jokes. If one smells these cakes, he will disregard heaven and liberation. Krishna and the other boys laughed and laughed. Upon finishing their meal, they did archman and relaxed on luxurious beds. Krishna and Balaram's clothing and ornaments had become spoiled from eating. They ate so much, so happily, that everything became full with the colors of the food. So they exchanged them for fresh ones. The divine boys carefully washed their feet and freshened their mouth with spices. Now we will hear tomorrow how Krishna then goes again to his beloved cows and milks the cows. That's quite something. We will not touch this elevated subject today. I don't know how all of your endeavors is going, but I really notice as I'm here on this in Govindakund how much doing.
If you can just reduce them or
sorry,
the microphone and the whole thing is
perfect. I'm a monkey. What I notice is as we go now more and more into our Kartik Vrata, and means by time we are now for a few days already doing it, I see it really very much like a journey. When we are in the West, we think so much of other services, and it's really not so easy to think so much of Krishna. We are just somehow chanting our rounds, finishing a minimum amount of rounds in the West, and then it's really from morning till evening exciting services. But yes, we know that we do this ultimately for Krishna. But really, when we are here in Braj, if we are very honest, we have to say our consciousness of Krishna is so much increased here in Vrindavan, because all we do is hearing and chanting, and we notice that our mind, which has the impressions of so many other things, is not always cooperative. Like I remember today that was a wonderful scene for me. I was sitting there, and just next to me the best of the monkeys came, three or four of them, and they wanted to eat. There are some grains or something.
I will clean the place.
Maybe we can put the grains somewhere else.
Yes.
They should also eat. There are maybe greater devotees than we, you know. Let us not. But ask Dina Bandhu if there is another place for them to eat the grains. And it was so many of them, and we were sitting very narrow. And I know if you just totally ignore them, they will not give you any trouble, because they are also somewhat vegetarians, not so strict maybe, but mostly I think they don't eat mice. Do they eat mice or something? No, they're vegetarians, and some insects maybe they eat, but they're mostly vegetarians, you know. They are not strict in anything, you know. Monkeys are. So there's nothing to fear. The only thing which you know, they are not fearful, creating fear. The only thing is, when you are fearful, they smell it, and then they become aggressive just for show, you know. So I know they are not at all harmful, but some of them started to threaten me and saw my glasses. So I understood, oh my God, I put my glasses away because they may want to do something with the glasses. So then I put it away and made clack, you know, and this annoyed the monkey who had just looked at me to get the glasses from me so much that he really was angry at me. And as he approached me and he showed his teeth, I was starting to sweat. And he said, don't sweat, they don't eat meat, you know. Don't sweat. But then he could smell that I'm getting out of balance, you know. Anyways, finally I just closed my eyes and said, Hare Krishna, leave me alone, my dear monkeys. And I could understand this is very much how Maya works on us. Maya makes just such a show that after some time we take Maya serious, you know, and we this is like the monkeys. So it just breaks through our defense, you know, and when we are very honest, we should understand when we go to Braj, I'm a conditioned soul, still conditioned, I really want to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, because the Maya is so subtle, I don't see it any longer, it's just so much pervasive. That's why all the Brijbasis who come from the west or even from Delhi to Vrindavan, they take their bath either in Radhakund or the Yamuna, because they know something sticks. You know, somehow the material energy sticks. Krishna. So, but today was a wonderful day for me. Krishna, I'm just so grateful to be here. I very much like this place also, because when I'm getting restless, because you can't imagine when I'm preaching, I have to put so much mental energy into my service. So therefore, I have a very strong mind, you know. Then when I'm sitting, I like to sit and chant. After some time, then I can go under the tree, or I can go in the room, in the small room, or I can sit here, and it's very nice. Here the whole bhajan universe is in here. Krishna. God, so I wish you another very nice day. Hare Krishna.